Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to read scripture together. And I think it's important that we set our hearts in expectation mode and that we respect God's word. Sometimes we stand together. Preachers, when I was growing up, used to say, you bring expectation, it's the breeding ground for miracles. And what they were saying is, I'm ready to preach. Are you ready to receive? If you don't get anything, it's not my fault. Look over to the person beside you. Say, are you expecting this to be good? Now go ahead and answer them in faith, all right? Y'all ready? Anybody love the word, the eternal, incorruptible seed of God's word? Come on, our hearts are open. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. He who has ears, let him hear. The one who received, who heard the words, put them into practice. It's like the man who built his house on the rock. How many of you, I'm asking you to testify, how many of you got a piece of the rock this morning? Amen? Now built, we have a house at the beach, we don't, but if you do, God bless you. And I think you ought to send your pastor once a year down there for a week or two. But we don't build him out on the sand. So what we do this morning, I know it's Mother's Day and I have a word for mothers, but it's a general word, and I do feel that it is for this house and that God's going to do something special this morning through the teaching of this word. So it's my prayer that your heart is open and that your ears are open as well and you're ready to receive from God's word. Strategy for the struggle is the name of the sermon, Genesis 41, verses 37 through 40. This proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh looked to Joseph and said, you shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Strategy for the struggle. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We love your word. We love this time. You are here. Help us to receive. Anoint us to receive your word. Help me to preach in a way that makes you famous, that makes you preeminent. May there be an anointing released for the teaching and the preaching and the receiving of your word, that we would leave here and never be the same. That's our expectation. This isn't wasted time. May we never be the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before you're seated, turn and tell somebody, you look like you lost 10 pounds since last Sunday. God will forgive you later. You just take that up between him. We play ping pong at our house, and we get after it. We love ping pong, and I'm that father that I have never let my kids win anything. I believe it develops character. I believe it teaches them to compete. I believe if you give them a win, when they earn a win, they won't know how to appreciate it. Not only do I like to win since they were little guys, I trash talk too. I rub it in. About a year and a half ago, I remember my first serious challenge. It's probably happened with the others, and they're over there sitting there going, Dad, I beat you, I beat. But this one I remember, and it was like Stone had gotten a lot better playing with his friends, and he was up like 20-16, and I panicked. I was becoming short of breath. I'm like, I'm not prepared for this. If this happens, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, we have a plan for winning. We have a plan for everything working out right. We have a plan for the dream coming true. But I became aware that I don't have a plan for losing this. I've trash-talked this kid for 15 years. And And I had to come up with a strategy on how to negotiate this impending loss. Let me ask you, do you have a strategy for struggle? What if it's harder than you thought it was going to be? What if it takes longer than you thought it was going to take? What if it looks like what you dreamt would happen, it looks like it's not going to happen? The text we just read doesn't tell the whole story of Joseph. This is the story as he comes into favor and the whole thing climaxes. And his dream that he had several chapters earlier is actually coming to fruition. But you got to put things in their context, don't you? You've got to come to understand that Joseph had a dream a long time ago, but he had to go through a lot of stuff to get there. His brothers, there were 11 of them, he had a dream that he would one day, they would basically, essentially work for him. His dad had favored Joseph. The brothers didn't like him to begin with. And then when he shared that dream, you can imagine they disliked him all the more. So they came up with a plan, some serious sibling rivalry. And that pretty robe that his dad had given him, that robe of favor, they said, we're going to take it from him. Let's kill him and we'll take the robe back, give it to dad. We'll kill a lion or some animals and take the blood from those animals, take it back and say, dad, look what happened to Joseph. They took the robe, but how many of you know the robe wasn't the favor? God had put favor on Joseph. And so his brothers then changed the plan from killing him to throwing him in a pit. And then it was in the pit that we see the first part of his strategy. And the pit represents what I want to submit to you this morning is it represents submission. Everybody say submission. James chapter 4, we quote, resist the devil and he will flee. We miss the first part of it, which is so critical. It's the first part for a reason. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Over in John's Creek, we have roundabouts. They're popping up in Milton. I like roundabouts because I, like everybody else in John's Creek, I know how to drive through a roundabout. A roundabout for some people becomes a moment of stress, and they create stress for others. It's called a roundabout. How many of you like roundabouts better than four-way stops? Just keep moving. In a roundabout, all you have to know is who goes first and who goes next. You have to yield at times. You have to pick out when it's your time to go and when it's your time to yield and wait. And with God, a lot of times in your spiritual journey, it's that simple. When do you wait? When do you go? And when do you just yield to Him because you're not sure if you should go or wait? When you're living in the struggle, you have to say, God, I submit to you. When you're living in the struggle, you have to turn it over to Him and say, God, you are sovereign. I yield my dream. I yield that vision you gave me. It wasn't mine in the first place. You gave it to me. I yield everything to you, Lord. I yield because I trust that your word is true. Your word says the steps of a good man, the very steps are ordered of the Lord. For most of you, you're probably like me. I struggle submitting because it's either an issue of control or it's an issue of trust. I like to be in control. You like to be in control. I like to submit to God as long as it looks like everything is working out like He said it would. I don't like curves in the road. We don't like turbulence. We don't like feeling Like we're not in control. And that's why it's important that we submit to the Lord. In Psalm 23, there's a template that you're familiar with on how to work through the struggle and submit. The first verse says that the Lord is my shepherd. I lack for nothing. That's it. We learn that sheep, I'm not sure how I feel about God calling us sheep. I understand sheep are like the dumbest animal on four legs. And that's who we are. I understand that sheep, if you don't bring them in out of the rain, they will drown themselves. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. That's it. I don't want for anything. It goes on to say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you're with me. I trust you, Lord. Verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. The Lord is my shepherd. So God, I submit it all to you. The sooner you learn to submit, the better off you're going to be. So here, out of the pit, then Joseph is sold to the gypsies, and they took him to Potiphar's house. He's sold into slavery, and he's serving in Potiphar's house, and there he rose to preeminence because the favor, remember, wasn't on the coat. The favor was on Joseph. How many of you want the favor on you and not your talent or your possessions? How many of you want the word of prophecy to be over you, to be true in your life, not over what you have or what you can do, but you want the favor from God? Come on. How many of you? Come on, somebody. That's what we're at. Listen, what we're after is a word from God, from him to me, to you, so that I can hold on to that word. Joseph had it. Wasn't on the coat. It was there in Potiphar's house that Potiphar's wife seduced him, and he resisted every time. And Joseph had a right from a natural perspective to say, God has forgotten all about me. You ever felt like that? What's happening isn't fair. I know that no one else in this room has ever felt like something's happening, it's unfair. We tell our children, the quicker you learn, life just isn't fair. It's just not. The quicker you learn it, the better. Joseph had every right to say, God has forgotten me. This isn't right. I'm going to live on my own. No one will know. I'm away from my people. I'm away from my country. If I make a bad decision, nobody here even knows a dream I confessed a long time ago. But he didn't do that. If the pit represented submission, then Potiphar's house represents the second step to the strategy of dealing with the struggle. And it is staying. Everybody say it. Staying. Now say this with me. And I want to hear you. Let's confess it. Say, I'm going to stay. Say it. I'm going to stay. Say it again. I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay right here where God called me. I'm going to stay right here trusting my shepherd. There's something about staying power in the servant of God. There's something about the ability to stay even in the middle of difficult things. Whenever the struggle hits you, it's not the time to give up and leave. When the struggle hits, it's time to press into the word that God gave you. If you're facing one of those challenges right now, please don't hit the eject button. Stay right where God called you. Because listen to me, brothers and sisters. The struggle isn't after you. The struggle is after the word that God has put in you or over your life. Somebody hear what I'm saying this morning. For Joseph, it wasn't about him. It was about the seed of God's word that had been planted in his heart. And here we are in the law of the seed. And if God will help us this morning, Satan messed up because he let you get here. and to hear God's word. And when we declare God's word over your life, if you'll let that seed get in your heart and you'll protect that seed, it will germinate. And God has the power to make that prophetic seed, that declaration over your life, come up out of the ground and be something special. Because listen, the dream, the seed over your life, it's not just about you. It's about a whole lot more than just you. Hear me, somebody. Everybody in this room, the seed, the calling over my life, it's about more than Chuck Ramsey. It's about more than Chuck and Candace. It's about more than our family. The seed is about you making a difference in this world. It's that big. So you've got to protect it. And you've got to say, I'm staying. This seed in me is going to come up and be something significant. Are y'all out there this morning? Anybody hearing what I'm saying? It's over your life too. You need to understand there's a lot of dreams counting on your dream being fulfilled. It's that significant. It's that important. You have to stay faithful in the struggle. Here's the strategy for the struggle. I'm committed to it. I'm committed. I'm staying. On the good days, I'm committed. On the bad days, I'm committed. I'm staying right here. That's why over and over in the Old Testament, especially in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, look here. That's why God says, be bold, be strong, be courageous. This word that I'm giving you, don't let it leave your mouth. Listen, what does that mean? What you read, what you're hearing from God, you need to say the things He's saying. Don't speak any death. Don't let any doubt, don't let any wishy-washy things that contradict with I'm staying. Don't be speaking that stuff. And God said to Joshua, He said, don't look to the right, don't look to the left. And then you will be prosperous and successful in what I'm calling you to do. Why did He tell Joshua that? Because He knew in just a few days, Joshua was going to have a word from the Lord about how to fight the first battle. God said, you're going to march around these walls of Jericho. And on the seventh day, you're going to march seven times, and the walls are going to come down. He was telling him that because, listen, sometimes you've got to make a choice. Am I going to live off of what I see or what God said? Because you will often hear God say, listen, you will often hear God say something, and immediately your vision will tell you that can't happen. When I prayed this morning, I know it's Mother's Day, so forgive me. I don't waste Sundays. I try not to anyhow. Some of you have a report from the Lord, from the doctor. And it's contradictory to what God's word says for you, your body, your life. His word says you are healed, you are filled, you are whole. And the doctor's report is reality. But it's not ultimate spiritual reality. Because to see the dream that God puts in your heart come true, you've got to choose every day. I'm not going to live by what I see. I'm going to live by what God said over my life. And what God said is, these walls are coming down. Joshua had to say to the whole camp of Israel, a couple million of them, for the whole week, don't even talk. Don't even open your mouth. Don't talk to each other. Because he knew when they got home, they'd be talking about his sermon. They'd be talking about, we need Moses. I miss Moses. He was a much better. You didn't miss Moses. You mumbled, grumbled, complained. Yeah, but at least he was better than Joshua. He didn't give us a military strategy to walk around a walls and they're going to come down. And Joshua said, zip, because God told him, don't anybody talk. And that's why God said, don't let the word that I'm giving you depart from your mouth. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Be bold. Be strong. Stay. Not what you see, but what you heard me say. There's somebody. There's more than some somebodies. There's a whole bunch of somebodies in here this morning. I sense this word is for me. You know, listen, it's for all of us. God, listen. Well, we've had addicts in our family for generations. My mom was negative, and I can't help it. We've all had asthma. Everybody died before they were 65 of heart disease in our family. Everybody. What does God say? God says he's put a word on your life. God has said you can kick that addiction to alcohol. God says this morning, you don't have to be strung out and depressed. God says, I have come. I sent Jesus to give you life abundantly. I want you filled with the resurrection power of my life. How about that? We praise you, Lord. Potiphar's house represents staying. It's where Joseph, listen, did the right thing. He resisted the temptation, and then he still gets thrown into prison. Sometimes things get worse before they get better. In fact, I found out they usually do. There, though, Joseph rises to prominence again in the prison. He interpreted the dreams for the cupbearer and the baker, and the saddest verse in the whole story. After Joseph requested in Genesis chapter 40, verse 14, Joseph says, hey, to the cupbearer and the baker, but when all goes well with you, remember me, show me kindness. Would you mention my name here? Share my contact info with Pharaoh. The last verse of chapter 40 says this, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. How sad is that? 2 years later, though, listen, Pharaoh had a dream that no one could interpret. Who did they call? Say it with me. Who did they call? Listen, your moment is coming. Will you be ready? Can you live your life knowing they're going to call your number? Are y'all hearing me this morning? Are you prepping for that moment? Your number, I don't care what you've been through, where you've been, how old you are, how young you are, male, female, your number will be called. God still has you on his radar. He has not forgotten you. You may have been through this and that and this and that, but God is a stalker. He's stalking you. He knows everything. He's getting ready to bring it all together. And when they call your name, are you going to be ready to get in the batter's box and swing for the fence? Brings me to number three. And finally, they clean Joseph up, bring him out of the prison, bring him before the king, and when he's in front of Pharaoh, this represents service. Say service. So we submit, we stay, and then we serve. Brothers and sisters, look at me. It's approximately 15 years since Joseph originally received the dream. And now he is serving Pharaoh's dream while his is still unfulfilled. This is mature stuff right here. Can you serve someone else during the season when you really need support? Can you go all in to serve someone else's dream even though it doesn't benefit you in the long run? Can you serve and go all in serving somebody else just simply because you know that's where God has placed you for this season? Can you pray for someone else's healing? Can you pray fervently for someone else's healing while you're still waiting on yours? Can you pray for somebody who is sick, who cries themselves to sleep every night, and no one realizes you're doing the same thing? There is a principle in walking with Jesus. When you get your eyes off of you and on being Jesus to others, Jesus gets bigger in your life. And when you give what you need, you often get what you need. Are y'all out there this morning? So what Joseph didn't know, he doesn't have the backstory. He doesn't know what's getting ready to happen. He's just serving in Potiphar's house. Then he gets brought before the king. What Joseph didn't know is that serving Pharaoh's dream would bring his dream to fulfillment, because it was Joseph that prepared all of Egypt for the famine. Then it was the famine that brought his brothers to the palace to see him. It was then that Joseph found his brothers bowing down before him, and the dream was fulfilled because he was willing to serve in the middle of the struggle. I sense Holy Spirit dropping something in my spirit I haven't even thought of or planned to say. You that are in the marketplace, whether you're in sales, accounting, mid-level management, upper-level management, most people are unhappy in their employment. It's often true in ministry as well. People are not where they thought they'd be. They're working under someone that their resume, their experience is better than the person they're answering to. It happens. Life is unfair. I sense Holy Spirit putting it in my heart. Can you serve for the greater good even if it doesn't benefit you? What would Jesus do in that place? Can you be passionate about making your manager's department look amazing even if they get the credit? God is stalking you. He knows if you're the one that deserves the credit, promotion will come. How are you going to deal with the struggle? Will you serve? Will you serve with a smile on your face? In humility, will you be a blessing? Now, I'm coming in for a landing. Please listen to me. Everybody ready for a good, safe landing? You see, if Joseph would have never had his brothers bow down to him if he hadn't been brought before Pharaoh. He would have never been brought before Pharaoh if he hadn't been in the prison. He would have never been in the prison if he hadn't been unfairly accused. He would have never been unfairly accused if he hadn't had to serve as a slave in Potiphar's house. He wouldn't have had to serve as a slave in Potiphar's house if his brothers hadn't rejected him. His brothers would have never rejected him if he hadn't shared his dream. He would have never shared his dream if God hadn't given him that dream. He would have never received that dream except God had placed a call on Joseph's life. So it all is working together for our good, because God is the great orchestrator. And there's somebody here this morning. You're dealing with the struggle. It might have been a little longer than you thought. The dream may not have been as easy to fulfill or accomplish as you thought. But I want to tell you this morning, I'm speaking to young people and people who are not so young. I'm speaking to Chuck Ramsey this morning. Can you just submit it to God? The details, the questions, the feelings, the emotions, can you just submit it to God? I'm reminded of a couple who had a cat, and the husband hated the cat because the wife showed all kinds of favor to the cat, and the cat started sleeping between them. And every time that husband got a chance, he mistreated that cat. That cat thought it ran the whole house. It would come and rub up against his leg when he was sitting down. And that man would just, out of spite, would pet the cat, rub the cat from tail to head. And you know cats don't enjoy that. And every time that man would rub that cat the wrong way, that cat would go. Went on for a long time. And they were both persistent. And that cat would just sometimes stand there. Just like, I'm going to get you to pay. You know what I'm looking for. I know you know what I'm looking for. It went on for weeks, and the man finally, after about 7 or 8 times of the delight of getting that hiss from that cat, he looked down at the cat and he said, well, turn around. Cat looked up at him. To his dismay, that thing turned all the way around. And something clicked in that man's heart. And so he petted him for the first time from head to tail. And they became best friends. And that cat started following him around and wanting to be near him. What's the moral to the story? Just turn around. Just turn around. Submit to God. And then decide, I'm staying. And then serve with a smile on your face. And see God do something. See God do something miraculous in your life. Look me in the eyes, would you? There's destiny on you. There's greatness in you. Chances are, you're living beneath your privileges. Chances are, the quicker you submit, decide, I'm staying, and I'm going to serve willingly, there'll be a great turnaround come in your life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Because the things God put in you, it's not just for you. It's for you, your mate, your children, your grandchildren. Joseph saved the known world because he was able to prepare them for that famine. People's salvation is counting on you coming up with a strategy for the struggle. Amen? If you will, stand with me to your feet. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. Would you just, if you're comfortable, would you just place your hands out? If you're holding something, would you sit it down in the seat behind you? On this Mother's Day, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the promise and the truth of your word. We pray, Lord, that the seed that you have planted in us, that we would nurture it. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But your word, it says that you're a God of miracles. You're a God of resurrection. You're a God that restores relationships. You're a God that brings prodigal children back home. You stalk us, Father. You answer our prayers. You are as close as the mention of your name. You're a very present help in time of trouble. And so over every man and woman in this room right now, Father, we speak your life. We speak your truth. And I pray, Father, that dreams would come alive for the one who is 25, 30 years into a marriage that's broken, for the one who is walking that road of divorce alone, or to the one who is facing challenging health issues. We speak your word of life in that situation. We praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Look at me, brothers and sisters. I spoke on pain last week, and I've heard from a number of you. T.F. Tenney said, God whispers in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience. And he yells in our pain. C.S. Lewis said, pain is God's megaphone. You may be walking through something painful. Let it work. Let it work for you. Don't fight it. Don't struggle. Submit to God. Are y'all out there this morning? Anybody dealing with any challenging stuff? Anybody dealing with any struggle? Look at me. When you're going through a struggle, when you're walking through a painful situation, it's amazing. Like we talked last week, you dig a little deeper. Every time you open the Bible, you see verses, you're like, God, that wasn't even in here last time I read that. You put that in here for me. Because he's committed to helping you through it. When you're dealing with a struggle, you show up in every worship song, every lyric. It's like, Pastor Mark chose those songs for me. When you're dealing with a struggle and your heart is open, it's like you go home and you go, that sermon was for me. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit is real. God knows where you are, and he's more committed to you than you are to him. He's going to help you get through that struggle. It's not the end of the road. It might just be the beginning to something great if you'll submit to God and determine, I'm staying and I'm going to serve. You go, serve? Listen, where you're serving is probably the thing that leads you to the thing that might lead you to the next thing that becomes the God thing. That's how God works. Don't underestimate that prison. Don't underestimate Potiphar's wife's unfair accusation. Keep your head up. We serve a mighty God. He is for you and not against you. Can somebody receive what I'm saying this morning? We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Father. We praise you. Y'all, I feel it in my spirit. It's a turnaround season. God's getting ready to blow your doors wide open. God's getting ready to, you think the dream he gave you 15 years ago, wait till he updates you. Wait till you get updated what God wants to do in you. I got a big vision for my family. That's why I pray like a crazy man. I'm fighting the devil. He isn't going to win. It might look like he's winning some days. He's not going to win. We serve a big God. And hey, listen, he's got a great plan. The end is near. He's going to go out with a bang, too. We're going to be part of it. Can I get a witness? Yes.